Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:06 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 16th. Well, I thought we'd kick off today and look at gold. It had come right up to the $1,300 area, and on each of the occasions where it has pulled back and held this succession of lower rally highs over the course of the last 3 months, it has done so with a dynamic, and there was an absence of dynamics until today, and the market has pulled back by about $10. So that's reasonably similar to the move that we saw at the little most recent lower rally high in the beginning of April. So we're going to need a clear upper dynamic in order to really confirm the return of demand in the region of the trend mean. This so far has qualified as some steadying, but it really did need to break this sequence of lower rally highs in order to confirm more than short-term support in the region of that trend mean. Well, this is holding out the prospect of some additional volatility, and because the market has been less than volatile for a while, and this is, after all, gold we're talking about, that does suggest that we could be in for some additional volatility if we don't get a rebound reasonably soon. Silver prices were down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today as well, and that has also continued to hold the sequence of lower rally highs evident over the last 3 months. So that was at a new reaction low, in fact. It's pushing back now very squarely into the underlying trading range. So it's failing to sustain the breakout. It is well below the trend mean, and it does, in the absence of a break in that sequence of lower rally highs, there is the prospect of it pushing all the way back down to test the lower side of its range, or at least going back down to test the lows posted in 2018, 2016, and going all the way back to the last time it traded below $15 on a sustained basis, which was in 2009. Meanwhile, in stock markets today, the S&P 500 was in positive territory most of the day, but that rally faded in the last hour and a bit of trading. And when we think about what exactly is going on here, well, I think the weekly chart tells us a full story. The market was right in the region of the peaks from the two peaks that were put in last year. There was a short-term overbought condition following what had been an incredibly impressive rebound all the way up from the post-Christmas lows. And now we're getting some consolidation. It has bounced from the region of the trend mean. That is about the most benign scenario we might wish for, but it's still likely that we're going to be in for a period of ranging to put in enough support so that a break above 3,000 could be sustained beyond a short-term move. If we do in fact get a range that persists for a few months and then get a breakout, well, then that will be enough to convince the majority of investors, I suspect, that this was nothing more than a medium-term correction similar to what we saw in 2015 and 16. The big question that is on everyone's lips is about the trade war, but much more important than that is the trajectory of monetary policy. It's not, of course, what happens in terms of the trade war is going to affect what happens in terms of monetary policy. But when we look at the size of the Fed's balance sheet and the fact that it has been contracting rather sharply over the course of the last year, that represents the withdrawal of liquidity from the market. It has been one of the primary factors in the strength of the US dollar. The strength of the US dollar has reduced the value of assets held by central banks all over the rest of the world, which has drained liquidity out of the markets. So the Federal Reserve's commitment to not raise interest rates any further and to cease reducing the size of its balance sheet in September, well, that's the big question. That's, I think, the biggest comfort for the market has been that commitment to stop reducing the size of the balance sheet. I think it's quite likely we're going to get down to about $3.75 trillion, and that will be about it. Until that in fact occurs, then the withdrawal of liquidity is a tailwind for the dollar. and the dollar was up in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today, particularly against the euro. It continues to hold its higher reaction lows, but it hasn't really gone very much of anywhere for much of the last 6 to 7 months. So, but nonetheless, we do have higher to lateral ranging over that same time frame. It's still a demand-dominated environment. Given that you still have the upward bias, I think it's quite likely we're going to see 100 at some stage before the market really does start to ease from there. Well, the weakness of the euro is certainly a bonus for European stock markets. And when, for example, we look at the World Equity Index page on Bloomberg, just about every market in Europe was in positive territory by in excess of 1% in here today. If we just then zoom in, for example, on the Euro Stoxx 50, then it has bounced rather nicely from the region of the trend mean. The most important thing it had done was break the sequence of lower rally highs. Now it has confirmed support, at least in the near term, in the region of the trend mean. And as long as the lows from this week hold, then we are still on a recovery trajectory, and that is being supported by the weakness of the euro. Well, the pound has also been quite weak because Theresa May has basically been forced to name her resignation date next month. There is a realistic possibility that a hard Brexiteer is going to take her place. That is because the people who vote in the election to appoint the next leader of the Conservative Party are the party faithful, who tend to be really very pro-Brexit. That big question is whether they represent the people who actually vote for the Conservative Party. So there is that dichotomy. The deal which Theresa May negotiated is going to be put back to Parliament again. And the very clear intention of that is to scare the waverers onto supporting it, regardless of the fact that it is membership of the EU in all but name. That this is obviously a scare tactic to try and get people to vote for it, because the alternative will be a PM who is in favour of exiting on a hard Brexit basis. Well, that is weighing on the pound, and it has broken down to a new reaction low. It's largely been ranging between about 126 and 134 over the course of the last 8 or 9 months. It's coming back down towards the lower side of that range. And against a background where the pound is weak and the dollar is reasonably firm in here, then there is scope for a return back down to the lower side of the range. But when we compare it to the euro, it is right in the region of the trend mean. And the 115 area might have been broken, but this is a potential area of support. If it fails here, well, then we're talking about a failed downside break, and it could easily go back down to test the 110 area. But if it rallies here, well, then the first step above the base hypothesis will still be credible. The weakness of the pound is also a bonus for the nominal appreciation of the UK stock market. The FTSE 100 was in positive territory as well in here today, and so was the FTSE 250. Now, when we think about what is going on in China, well, their economy is much more influenced by the outlook for the global economy, and tariffs are biting there harder than they are in the USA. Part of the reason for that is because the additional tariff that is being posed on goods coming in from China is a reasonably small proportion of the USA's GDP. It's certainly going to affect companies like Walmart, where they manufacture a great deal of what they sell in China. But there are obviously alternative sources of goods and services that can be exploited if the cost of doing business with China increases. That's not quite the same for China. But one thing we know about China's markets is that bull markets are state-sponsored. And the last thing the Chinese want is for a rout to occur which would damage confidence. So there are support mechanisms in place to, I think, ensure that the lows put in last week for the A-share index are going to hold. What's also apparent is that the depreciation of the renminbi is on hiatus for the last 3 days. It was in mildly negative territory for the renminbi in here today, but certainly an absence of dynamics. I do think it is very likely that it is going to go back towards the 7 area, but if it were to drop below 7, that would be an admittal of failure by the Chinese administration to support the currency and to remove volatility. It would also greatly enhance the argument for capital flight, and that is just something that China can't afford. Bitcoin today was in negative territory. It is pausing around the 8,000 level, having rallied from 4,000 to 8,000 in the space of the last 6 weeks. When we think about Ethereum, it has certainly got the potential to play catch up. It was up an additional $18 in here today. I wasn't quite able to hold on to the advance. And I bought this via a spread bet. Someone did send in a question about how did I do it. Obviously, the mechanism where you buy Ethereum, you need to set up accounts at one of the exchanges in order to buy it, whereas it is possible to simply spread bet it. Now, what I find particularly interesting is that despite the fact that China now represents 30% and it's going to move up to approximately 40% of the weighting within the iShares or the MSCI Emerging Markets Index, the ETF pulled back violently below the trend mean over the course of the last 2 weeks. It has at least steadied from the 40 area, steadying in a manner similar to what we're seeing with the A-share index. But we're going to have to see additional strength from China in order to really repair some of the damage that's been done here. But we do have the succession of higher reaction lows, at least that is in its favor. But one of the problems with China representing 40% of the index and just about all of the major constituents of it are Chinese. Then, when you look at, for example, Tencent and Naspers, well, Naspers owns a big portion, or at least a big portion of Naspers' valuation is attributed to its holding in Tencent. So, rather than 5.3%, the actual weighting of Tencent is more like 7% of the Emerging Markets Index. So, just two shares represent about 12% of the entire index. And of course, they're both Chinese and they are attributable to the Chinese technology sector. And Tencent, having been quite positive yesterday, was in negative territory in here today. So that is raising the potential that it is going to pull back towards the region of the trend mean. It has been reasonably steady over the course of the last 7 or 8 months, but this is now a larger pullback and it is right in the region of the upper side of the underlying range. If it doesn't bounce in here tomorrow, well, then we're not going to have as consistent a move as we've had over the last 6 or 7 months, and then we'll be looking for the potential for it to find support in the region of the trend mean. Now, when we look at the bond markets, the Treasury future has been rallying, but it was in mildly negative territory in here today and is right in the region of the peak from back in March. If we then zoom out and look at it on a weekly basis, we can see that there is a sequence of higher reaction lows. There is one range above another, and it is a little overbought relative to the trend mean, so there is scope for some pause and consolidation. I think that is what we can anticipate from both the stock market and from the bond markets. We've had meaningful moves in both. There are short-term overbought conditions, and there is the scope for some consolidation. But that doesn't mean there is no risk. The Philadelphia Semiconductors Index was in negative territory mildly in here today. It continues to hold the 1400-point level. With the Trump administration banning Huawei from activities within the U.S. economy, there is the realistic possibility that there will be retaliatory moves and the banning, or at least the refusal, or the boycotting, perhaps is probably a better word, of US goods in China. And obviously, the semiconductors index is at risk from that. So it's rather important that it hold the 1400 point level. Considering that Nvidia had been supplying the chips for cryptocurrency mining, and that the majority of cryptocurrency mining occurs in China, then there is the potential that they will inconvenience Nvidia because they have their own domestic producers of the kinds of chips required for cryptocurrency mining. So, and I think Nvidia's earnings probably came out about 5 minutes ago. There is, I think, there is the potential that we're going to see some additional volatility in here over the next while in this sector. What I found also interesting in here today is that we did see some of the really quite defensive shares doing better. HanesBrands is one of those kinds of shares that is favored by value investors because of the reliability of its cash flows and the fact that there is a value argument to be made. But there is a rivetingly consistent progression of lower rally highs over the course of the last 4 years, and every one of the impressive rebounds when it has been oversold has failed. So the big question now is whether it is going to be able to push back above that $20 area and break the downtrend. I think one swallow does not a summer make, just pops to mind. So it's going to need more than a couple of days on the upside in order to truly confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But the return to performance of the consumer staples sector is also a factor in the compression in yields. So at the consumer staples sector is right in the region of the peak from back in 2018, and treasury prices are right in the region of their peak from last year. Some consolidation one is probably going to result in some consolidation in the other, and I think that is quite likely to be a factor in the utility sector as well as it tries to push new highs. So I think there is certainly some there has been a great deal of interest in these kinds of highly defensive shares as the rally in bonds has compressed yields. There is the potential for an unwinding of that if we start to see the rally in yields or the downtrend in yields starting to ease. But it would really require a break in the downtrend for the compression in yields to really rob the defensive sector of its capability to continue to rally. This is quite normal activity in the latter stages of a bull market. Do anticipate that defensives will start to do better in the late stages of an economic cycle. So this is further confirmation that we are late in the cycle, and the market is incredibly interest rate sensitive at this stage. So it is the liquidity situation more than any other factor is important to monitor. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.